As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And you are listening to the Rusty Satellite Show, the podcast that features the most interesting people in the Ville, with a little twist this week. I've got to tell you, my guest this week, neither of whom live in Louisville. But I am thrilled with my first guest you'll hear from in a minute. In the second part of the show, we're going to hear from Albrecht Stommer, who is a Louisville native, but now living in Singapore, has been very involved in the movement to bring an NBA team to Louisville and the Yum Center. And as you may or may not know, the NBA held an exhibition last weekend with Russ Smith and the New Orleans Pelicans were in town. And it played to an enthusiastic sellout crowd down at the Yum Center. So that could be a sign of good things to come for the folks who do want to have an NBA, professional NBA team here in the River City. I'll have more to say about that later. It's been a long effort, and I'm really not sure it's ever going to happen. I wish it would. NBA would be a great product to have for our city. So there you go. But I tell you, I just want to prepare you. My first guest is really thrilled for me to get a chance to interview Paul Thorne. He's my favorite singer. I love Paul's style and his he seems kind of humble, but this will be the I'll tell you about the funniest interview you've ever heard on the Rusty Satellite Show. I got a chance. I talked with Paul's people and got a chance before he played a show last Thursday night at Headliners Music Hall, and took my girlfriend Paula over there. We sat down and talked to Paul. He's in a good mood as expected, getting ready for the big show. The show that night was great at Headliners, and I just like you know, there's something about Paul's music. He's kind of a simple guy, but his background, if you don't know it, he was a boxer. He was famously got in the ring once with Roberto Duran, which he frequently brings up in concerts. He worked in a furniture factory. He's from Tupelo, Mississippi, birthplace of Elvis Presley. And I first met Paul back in 2006. I was fortunate enough to go on a cruise with Delbert McClinton, and Paul was a relatively unknown act on the boat, and I just really enjoyed his music. His songs are about things like trailer parks and rednecks and beer and religion and love, and you know, it all comes out in this interview. So I'm not going to delay it anymore. Let's get on with the Rusty Satellite interview with Paul Thorne. And today I'm at Headliners in Louisville with one of my, well, my favorite artist, Paul Thorne, in town for a show. And Paul, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
I'm glad to be here, Rusty. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
I appreciate you taking the time. I know I've seen you several times here at Headliners. I tell you, I met you on a cruise many, many years ago. You just have a, I guess I want to ask you about your stage presence. One of the things that Paula asked me about, we saw you last in Madison.
Yeah.
So is that story true about the overalls?
Refresh my memory. What was the story?
You said that you had like split your pants, that your tight pants, and you wore overalls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, my manager advised me to wear tight pants to make the middle-aged women ovulate. That's my fans. And so I took his advice, and then prior to the show, I split my stage pants, and all I had clean was some overalls, so I had to be 35% less sexy.
I understand. Well, you know, she thought you were plenty sexy at the show, so it was great. So the thing I've always wanted to ask you about, when I go to your shows and I see you tell all these stories, and they sound like you're just making them up on the spot. But then I go to another show and you tell the same story. Those have to be practiced, or how much of that is made up when you get there?
Just a little of both. You know, you have to have, when you go on stage, you have to have at least some kind of loose framework of your show.
Right.
And I, you know, and sometimes I'll get things extra that come to me during the day, and I'll say them. But you know, a show is something that's put together. And,
right.
I've got a gajillion stories, and I just change them out.
Okay. Now, you've come to Louisville several times, I know.
Yeah.
Is this one of the better stops for you, or do you have an affinity for our city?
After I Google affinity, I'll get back with you. But I like playing in Louisville. It's the birthplace of one of my heroes, Muhammad Ali.
There you go.
And the crowd is always nice when I come here, and there's a radio station that plays me. It's really helped put me on the map. And there's all kinds of reason to come here.
Yeah. Well, I know two or three, 4 years ago, you came to play to Jim Porter's, and I just figured I'd come that night and get a ticket and get in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sold out. I couldn't get in. So you're very popular.
Well, it's like the rap. You got to be ready.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about music. And you mentioned Rapture. I'm really fascinated by the content of your songs. You know, some people categorize it as sort of redneck or you know, not really country. But you bring up topics that like religion, and you make them funny. I guess it's all true from your background, right?
Yeah. I grew up in the church, and when you grow up in something, it's kind of like seeing behind the curtain on The Wizard of Oz. You know, you realize that there's a lot going. The church is just like anything else. It has good qualities and it has bad qualities.
Right.
Any business, and don't let nobody lie to you, church is a business at the end of the day. Because they'll say you're welcome, and they'll say salvation is free and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't start paying them 10% of your income, they'll start treating you like dirt. I know, because I've seen it.
It reminds me of my favorite song is Ain't Living in Sin No More, because it shows how the church changes its opinion of you based on your
attitude. Yeah, well, right? What it is, they say you have to stand before a preacher to get married officially or you're going to hell, but they're leaving out one detail. You got to pay the preacher. And so, but I think marriage is a commitment of the heart. It's not a piece of paper. And so I think it may be a racket to get to pay these preachers for the ceremony.
It may be. I'm not going to pay any more preachers, I think, because I think I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I've studied your approach to this is as a business, as it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a unique approach that you're independent of a record label. You do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What's your philosophy behind that?
Well, if you do it all yourself, you do take a risk because you're on your own. But if you succeed and you're independent, you actually do really well. because you know, a lot of people that's on major record labels and stuff, they could sell 100,000 records and still not make a dime because they recoup the record companies got run up so many expenses at their expense that they can't ever get ahead. But on from CD one, from show one, I get paid every night. You know, and if I sell a $15 CD, I make $13 off every, you know. Because, you know, it all works, the math works out, you know. Yeah. You might not sell as many, but you'll actually make more money than somebody who's got a higher profile than you.
Sure, sure. And I saw, you know, I'll just mention the one specific thing you talked about, the Toby Keith thing, right? What is that story? He approached you about something, or am I wrong?
Oh, I did a tour with him early on, did about 30 shows with him, opening up, and he wanted me to be on his record label, and I appreciate it, but honestly, I never even considered it, because those are the kind of deals that chew you up and spit you out. If you, they'll put you out, and if you instantly succeed, that's great. But if you don't instantly succeed, they'll drop you, and then they'll still own you, and you can't do anything. So I just politely turned that down.
Well, you made it, because you had to. I mean, I guess for a long time you struggled when you were working in furniture and boxing, right?
Yeah, life is a struggle. Everybody struggles. You have to struggle to keep Paula. She's so pretty, and there's a lot of men out there competing, trying to knock you off the throne. And
that's,
so you know what it's like.
True.
Yeah, you got to be on your toes.
All right, well, one other subject that I love, I always share these with people, and I say, look at this is so silly, but it's funny. You do these like 30 to 45 second YouTube videos. You really embrace social media as much as any artist. I know.
Yeah.
And what's behind that?
Well, people, my biggest influence as an entertainer is Dean Martin. Remember him?
Yeah, I do remember Dean Martin.
And he had a show where it was variety, and he would sing songs, and he would say little funny things and tell jokes. And he kind of inspired me to start doing these little videos, which I put on my Facebook, and they go to YouTube and all that kind of stuff. And it's just me talking about random stuff, anything that of interest, or just, but people seem to like it. And I have a lot of people come and say that they look forward to seeing what my next little video is going to be.
Yeah, they're just hilarious, I think, and some of them without meaning to be. But you know, you have an approach that I think is a hit with people. So I also want to talk a little bit about the songs on this album. You're on the road like 200 shows a year or something like that.
It's been busy. Yeah, it's been busy. Yeah, real busy. Yeah.
What's your favorite on this album? I know I've heard it. Paul and I have heard it several times, but. What do you like to perform best?
You know, that's a hard question. I don't really know what my favorite is on the record. What's your favorite?
Oh, I kind of like that one about the old Stray Dog and Jesus.
You like that one?
That's pretty.
I've had a lot of people say that they like that one. Yeah, it's a song. You know, it's about somebody on the downward spiral of drugs. And back where I live, there's a lot of people I know personally that are on that track, and I've never seen anybody recover on their own. Mm-hmm. And this message in this song is you need to go to rehab, because you can't fix yourself. You need help. And in the song, the guy hits rock bottom. But at the end of the song, he's in rehab. And that's the only place for people that's addicted that I've ever seen that really gets positive results.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to want to change.
And you're right about the problems, because, you know, right here in Louisville, we've had a really tough week. We had a school shooting. We had a body discovered in a park, a 12-year-old kid, and you know, a lot of it can be traced to drug problems.
Could be, yeah.
So, but some of the other songs, a lot of your songs, especially on this album, are so upbeat, and they send a positive message, and that seems like a conscious decision.
That is a conscious decision. There's so many albums, and there's a time and a place for all kinds of music. There's a time for sad music, where you're mourning over a girl left you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's times when you remember Coolin' the Gang? Well, this is sort of Americana Coolin' the Gang album. It makes you feel good. And there's phrases in the songs that when you sing along with them, you get in your head. Like one of the songs is called Everything's Gonna Be All Right. Who don't want to believe that? You know, and songs like Everybody Needs Somebody. Who don't know that is true? That's true.
And the great love song on there, No Place I'd Rather Be.
That's a song about missing home, you know. And, you know, people, you know, in my business, they know what it's like to be away from your loved ones. And people that's in the military, people that are truck drivers, traveling salesmen, they all know what it's like to be away from your loved ones. And that song, I think it probably hits a nerve with some people.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it does. And last, we're about to wrap up here, but I want to ask you about the road. I mean, you're on the road a lot. How do you, I know there's a lot of downtime. What kind of things do you do to occupy yourself? Do you go to, like, cool restaurants and places or anything?
Well,
like,
yeah,
that?
I go to cool restaurants all the time, but that's, you know, they can only do that so long, and then you miss home, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do different things. I like to do artwork. I paint. And I'm on the road, and I exercise a lot. I like to run and lift weights and stay fit. And I like to make videos in my hotel room and send them out to everybody. Just have fun. And I like to eat Milk Duds late at night in the bed when I'm at the hotel.
This show's at 8. It's not even 3 yet. What's your next hours? How do you prepare? Are you going to do the next few hours?
Well, this is what's called sound check, and we're unloading our equipment, and we're going to set the equipment up and make sure the sounds are right and get everything looking the way best we can. And then it's just go back to the hotel and spruce up a little bit, spray on some cologne for those up close contacts you're going to have with a few fans. And
well, you must have some stories now. This is the last thing I want to ask you about, but at the end of all the shows I've been to, you go out in the crowd, you have the same song you do out there.
Yeah.
There must be some interesting things that happen.
Yeah, there is some interesting. There's this one song that we've been closing our show with for quite a while, and we keep doing it because people seem to love it so much. The name of the song is Take My Love With You Everywhere You Go, and it's where I get out in the crowd, and I hug people's neck and everything. And there's a big double standard when I'm down there, because when I'm down there in the crowd, every night, some woman's going to grab my ass. And, you know, and it don't really bother me, but if that was on the other foot, like if it was a female out there and some man grabbed her ass, they put him in jail. since I enjoy that kind of thing anyway, I'm letting it go. But, you know, I just need to – people need to know that I have to go through a lot in this thing. I have to – be grabbed by beautiful women.
I hope you can make your way out to where Paul is tonight in the audience and let her get a little squeeze.
Well, I learned one thing. Don't go to them. Let them come to you. That way you'll never get turned down. You know, my uncle, my pimp uncle, he said, I've never been turned down. I said, how can that be possible? He said, it's not because there's not women that will turn me down. He said, there are women that will turn me down. But he said, I pay attention and I see if they're really interested or not. And I don't go to them. I let them come to me. And that way, you'll never get turned down. It's not like it's not bragging. It's because there's plenty of women that'll turn you down. But if you let them come to you, you'll never get turned down. But it's hard to wait because we get impatient.
That's right.
Men are impatient. You know.
Well, and those guys, I know you're married.
Men are in heat.
With Paula, we have to stay away from that stuff anyway.
Men are in heat 24 hours a day. Women are in heat from time to time. That's the difference.
That sounds like a song
that
you should write. It'd be a good opening line.
Right.
So anyway, Paul, I'm going to wrap it up here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me. And
thank you. I'm enjoying it. Good luck with your show, man. How long you had it going on?
It's a little over a year.
It's a
weekly podcast. It's some people here in town know about it. But
that's
you might be the most famous guest.
Well, you know, you got to start somewhere. You know, and it sounds like you got a good thing going here. I wish you a lot of luck.
All right.
With
well,
your radio show and with Paula.
Yeah, I'm going to need help in both.
Is she high maintenance?
She's actually pretty easy. You know?
They all are when you first meet them.
Yeah, I know. Time will tell.
Y'all are in the honeymoon phase right now.
We're on a lover's vacation.
That's it.
You can play that song for us.
All right.
That'd be great.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Now that was really a funny experience. It was great that I took Paula along with me on that trip. Paul Thorne seemed to be very interested in my relationship with my girlfriend and wished me the best of luck, I guess you would say. And man, that was fun. Really looked forward to seeing a guy that I really admire and got up front on the show that night, and it was really good. It was a really great experience. So the kind of thing you can do in Louisville, I tell you, I was looking at some other things, and in terms of music, Louisville is really a great music town. And if you like, there's not many artists that, hit the big time that draw crowds to the Yum Center and big places that cost, ticket prices are an interesting thing to study, I guess. I went to see Paul Thorne for $20. And, not many, I remember the last concert I went to at the Yum Center was Billy Joel, and the tickets were like $100 each. I think I not only enjoyed myself more at Paul, but, certainly the money thing is different. And, like this week up at Belterra in Indiana, up the road a bit near Madison. One of my other favorite bands, Huey Lewis and the News, is playing, and I'm sorry to say it's sold out. I may still try to crash the party and go, but really surprised that an act like Huey Lewis can command the kind of ticket prices. I think the face value was over 80, and since it's sold out, 4 days before the concert when I checked. The tickets were going for like $150 to see Huey Lewis in a casino. He's a great act, and I hope I can figure out a way to go. But moving on to the rest of the show, this is the part of the show where I talk about some issues that are going on around town, things that I think you might find interesting, at least, or maybe it's all about me and things that I find interesting. But a couple of stories caught my attention this week. First, I've been following this a long time. You know about the Noah's Ark Park that they're trying to build up in northern Kentucky. It is very controversial. I think it's, I guess it's controversial because in order to get this thing built, they're applying for tax credits. So that what comes with tax credits are a blessing by the state. And the state... there's this thing called separation of church and state, and the state can't support a religious project, a project that has a religion attached to it, or that discriminates in hiring. So now the story that came out this week, and great work by the Courier Journal, Tom Loftus, in uncovering the story. They're starting to hire people up there. This thing may become an actual reality, so that, we can teach our children that dinosaurs and people roamed the earth at the same time. All this stuff that, it really, I have a real opposition to, because it discounts science. But nonetheless, the Ark Park, the people behind Ark Park, they're also associated with a tourist attraction up there called the Creation Museum. It's owned by an organization called Answers in Genesis. Both of them are owned by the same one, and they put out an ad that got the attention of somebody with state government, because the ad required applicants to, quote, provide salvation testimony, a creation belief statement, and agreement with a statement of faith of Arkansas Encounters parent organization Answers in Genesis. That's what you had to do to get a job at this organization. Now there's all sorts of rhetoric going back and forth. You know, the people behind Answers in Genesis are claiming that the hiring is for one organization and not the other. But, you know, they're all tied in together, and good for the state. This guy named Bob Stewart, he's the secretary of the Kentucky Tourism, Arts, and Heritage Cabinet. He's questioning the hiring practices of this organization because it's very blatant religious discrimination. It's going to be interesting to see how the folks up there get around it. But I just, you know, I don't think any state expenses should be going to this kind of thing. But, you know, that's my opinion. And, you know, a lot of people really want this stuff to happen. And, you know, like you could believe that, you know, the Noah's Ark story. Well, they've done movies on it, so we won't get into all of that. But I am glad to see the state sort of taking a stand. Governor Beshear, with some fanfare, has in the past announced his support for the project as a tourism project. But, you know, they're going to have to abide by the rules in hiring. And that's going to be tough for that group because they're because of the way they are. Another sort of controversial thing, just moving on, if you check out Insider Louisville this week on Thursday, I'll have a story posted in there. I'm doing this series on health for Passport Health Plan, and this story is about e-cigarettes. And I know you've seen all these stores. It seems like every storefront has one, has a vapor shop, and you've seen people out in public puffing on these things. And, you know, other than the fact that, you know, certainly personally, I think they're gross. They're a crutch. They're, you know, it shows a weakness in character in the people that have this crutch in their life. But I was able to do some research and find out that you know, as a tool to stop smoking, there is no conclusive evidence. I talked to, I had a conversation with Laquandra Nesbitt, who's the director of the Department of Public Health here in Louisville, and certainly she doesn't think they're safe. There's all sorts of dangers involved, and one of the newest dangers is irresponsible parents leaving the vials of liquid around for little kids to come up and drink, and there's numerous cases of poisonings caused by this seemingly odd, impossible circumstance, but it's really happened. And I encourage you to just go to Insider Louisville and look for the story about e-cigarettes and the dangers inherent there. And, you know, maybe you disagree with me, maybe you don't, but I just don't think that they're the alternative to smoking that everyone thinks they are. But it is a booming industry. The numbers are phenomenal about how many of these shops are going up, how much sales are going on, that tobacco companies are getting in this business. And they're using the same marketing techniques they use to peddle cigarettes to Americans for decades. So I think it's a very dangerous thing. And, you know, just encourage you to check out that on Insider Louisville, where I got one other story I want to talk to you about, sort of a controversial thing. But, you know, Rusty Satellite guest Kevin Gibson was on here a few weeks back, and he's writing a three-piece series on the abortion clinic, the only place in Kentucky that provides abortions. And it seems like we don't realize this, but there is a daily battle going on outside that place. There are people who have nothing better to do with their lives than go down and protest and make uncomfortable and hurl insults at people going in and out of this abortion clinic. It's right downtown on Market Street. And I would just encourage you to read Kevin's piece. I think it's very well written. It's sort of from his point of view, and he profiles. He talks about what he sees and on both sides, the escorts that help people in to get the services provided, and the tactics that the people outside use to try to convince young women, I guess, to change their mind about getting an abortion. I think it's a real shame that no matter where you live in Kentucky, there's only one place to go to get an abortion if that's a if that's a decision you've made to choose. And and there it is. It's right. The story is very revealing about something that goes on that you and I probably don't realize goes on in our city every single day, right in our downtown. So kudos to Kevin for going down there and really doing some good work on that story. Some good reporting there. Another thing I wanted to get to lastly is the a big thing that happened in our city. You remember a few months back, we had the library director, Craig Butoad, on the show. And he was talking about the opening of the Southwest Regional Library out in Valley Station. You know, I work out that way. So on my lunch break the other day, I went over there and checked it out. It opened on Sunday to the public, and it is a spectacular structure. I think it's a really great thing for our city, for the overall, what shall we say? You know, it's just great to see a facility paid for by your tax dollars. Our government has done this, has created this library. If you remember, several years ago, my friend Chris Thieneman was behind there was a big movement to create a tax that would build libraries all over the city. Mayor Abramson back then was behind that, and a very controversial vote. It was very lopsided. The public vote will always vote against taxing itself, and they did in this case by a wide margin. Chris Thieneman led the opposition to that, but he was in favor of getting this Southwest Regional Library built, and there are some other ones on the drawing board. They're just not going up as fast as they would have had we passed that tax. And at least for now, a lot of people are using it. You know, I went during my lunch hour on a weekday, and you know, it seems like, you know, it's certainly new, and there's a lot of people there. But you know, the library is a great underused resource in this city. I would encourage you to, you know, go there for books. And you know, a lot of people go there just to get online and look at stuff on, and they can do that. You can do that at the library. There's music there. There's movies there. There's a lot of resources and media available at your library. So, you know, it's not a commercial for the library, but I was really glad to see that the Southwest Library was completed. It's a spectacular structure, and it's out there on Dixie Highway. It's really close to Valley High School out there, and I'm looking at some of the information. 120,000 books and materials. You know, the rows of books go on and on. It's really good. So encourage you to check that out. And so there's an election coming up. I know it's like a month away. There's an election. The big news this week, Allison Grimes in one poll nudged ahead of Mitch McConnell. Wouldn't that be great if she won? I don't know that that's going to happen, but it's going to be very close, I think, as it has the last several times that McConnell's been up for re-election. Bruce Lunsford nearly beat him last time, and I wish that would have happened too. But there's a lot of other races you should start paying attention to. You're seeing a lot of more signs around, especially for like judge candidates. And I would tell you that the state house is up for grabs too. A couple weeks ago, you heard my friend Nick Simon on here. He's a Republican running in Hikes Point in J-Town to represent us in the state, in the state house. So encourage you to get yourself educated and learn about the candidates and vote for the one that you think best reflects your beliefs. And I think the worst thing about the way our society works is that people either don't vote or they vote and they aren't informed about who they're voting for. And so there's a lot of places. Google is your friend. Just go Google the race or the candidate that you're interested in. Make an informed decision in the voting booth. So a lot of these, especially the judge races, are nonpartisan. Some of these judges have sketchy records or have been exposed as not very high quality judges, but they're running for re-election. A lot of them just get re-elected on name recognition. So, you know, that's my speech on that. And it's something I was talking to Albert Stammer who is my next guest, about elections and how well-informed people are, and a lot of, you know, he's very interested in the media. Albrecht lives, believe it or not, in Singapore, but has very close ties with a lot of folks here in Louisville, and was interested to talk to him about the NBA. Let's be honest. It seems like a really long shot to get the NBA in town. If you've ever read, we mentioned J. Bruce Miller's book, Airball. Really great history of the efforts by our city to lure an NBA team. And there's some heroes and some villains in that thing. And I remember that it doesn't bode well for the reputation of former Mayor Dave Armstrong. There's a lot of things that have happened to prevent our near misses. We could have been a major league city like Nashville and Charlotte and Indianapolis, and we just missed out on pro sports, and that's too bad. But Albrecht has studied this. He's very interested in what goes on here, even living in Singapore. So I invite you to listen in as I talk to Albrecht Stommer. Today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in Jeffersontown at a brand new coffee shop. It's really cool. And I'm with Albrecht Stommer, who is just certainly qualifies as one of the most interesting people around here. Albrecht, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk about the NBA, because that's a big part of where I heard of you. You used to write for me at LouisvilleKY.com, and I guess the best way to get into that was... Tell me, first of all, your role and a little bit about the progress of Louisville getting an NBA team.
Well, my role is completely unofficial because, as you probably know, there's actually no official movement.
Of course.
For the most part, it's Bruce Miller pursuing either a franchise or an ownership group to bring an expansion franchise to the city. I'm on the grassroots side. I work with a couple other guys and... we manage the Facebook page, Bring the NBA to Louisville, and the Twitter account, NBA okay. to Lou. And we're on there every day just trying to promote the viability of Louisville as a market to any potential ownership groups out there.
Sure. Well, it seems like our city has been after this for so many years. And we've talked about pro sports in Louisville you got all these cliches, all these things that everybody always says. It's a college town.
Right.
So let's address some of those. Louisville's a college town. There's no way that the NBA is going to come here. How do you answer that?
So was Nashville before they got the NFL and NHL. So was Charlotte before they got the NBA and the NFL. So was Oklahoma City before it landed the NBA. So was countless other cities in the United States. That's just an excuse using the current situation to prevent any change in the future, I think.
Right. Now, I guess people are on both sides of this issue, but certainly there are people that really want to bring this to town.
Yes, there are.
Including you. So where is that movement right now? And, I'm not going to guess what you're going to say. I've got an idea what you're going to say, but where is it right now?
I can't really comment in terms of where anything is officially again, but I can tell you NBA Media Central, when I corresponded with them last week and earlier this week, they were incredibly impressed with the attendance. The official number was 21,091.
Yeah, we didn't mention there was an NBA exhibition game at the Yum Center last weekend. Had a great crowd. Russ Smith and his New Orleans Pelicans were here. So... certainly that's an influence on, I guess, the people who make those decisions.
It is. It's a matter of perception, especially in the national media. 3 years ago when we started, launched the Facebook page and the Twitter account, you could find nary a mention of Louisville in the national press when it came to NBA expansion. And just this week, SI.com indicated that Seattle, Louisville, and Las Vegas were prime candidates for future expansion. There's also a very active group in Seattle, Bring Back Our Sonics. Mm-hmm. And for the past 2 months, they've written a lot about us, three feature pieces on their website, and we were just mentioned in the Seattle paper also on Monday after the exhibition game. So what we've done is at least we've injected ourselves into the conversation.
Right.
Previous that, especially after the disastrous way the Pelicans, I'm sorry, not the Pelicans, but the Hornets and the Grizzlies transfers ended up.
Right.
It looked like Louisville was poised to land both of those teams. In fact, right, for the Grizzlies in March 2001, KFC had already had a pep rally planned that morning at their building when the announcement came in that they had chosen Memphis.
Right.
And then same, the Hornets had actually signed a letter of intent to move to the city of Louisville, predicated on building an arena downtown.
Yeah, I should say that anybody interested in this topic should read Bruce Miller's book, right? And what I can't remember.
Airball.
Airball, yeah. It just really details those
efforts. That's how I got involved. I read his book. I was in Tokyo at the time. I was living in Tokyo. I read his book. I was like, wow, this is interesting. A lot more behind the scenes than I knew. And I Googled his name, found his email address, sent him an address with some ideas I had. And he responded back. He's like, if you want to help, you're welcome to. And I really thought that he was just being nice, and it was a perfunctory response. But he actually kept in contact. And I think it was in 2007 or 2008. Actually, I went to Hong Kong on his behalf to vet a institutional investor there who was interested in possibly investing in an NBA franchise in the city of Louisville at the time, and that he wanted somebody local to go down and talk and see how legit it was. So
yeah.
I guess since then I became officially involved, if that's a...
It seems like fits and starts on the movement in the last 5 years, say, because, you know, I know I went to an event downtown where a bunch of people were gathered, and it seemed like it was imminent that this great investor was going to fall down from the sky and happen.
Yeah, I think that was the YPAL event, right? The Young Professional Association.
Might have
Louisville,
been.
Right. Well, actually, I think we should play it another way. We being the proponents of bringing the NBA to Louisville, I think we should avoid any press conferences, any public mention of potential ownership groups until there's money in the bank.
Right.
And until there's money in escrow and we know that we've got an ownership group down. Because otherwise, exactly what you say. It's people hear it and they're like, oh, this again.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens. That's why what we're doing is just trying to maintain interest on a grassroots level within the fan base. We don't overpromise anything. We don't say that there's anything imminent. In fact, if anybody asks me, I always say the same thing. I can't comment on it because I just don't know details right now about any potential ownership group.
Well, you know, let's go after another myth here, one of the things that I hear all the time, and that is that not just that Louisville's a college town, but if there's a pro team here, you know, people won't buy the tickets; they're too expensive. You know, the team won't succeed here. If you ever get it here, it'll be a drain on the city financially. You know, I'm sure you guys have arguments for those arguments.
Well, all of those are basically, we're afraid of what might happen, so let's not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of that sounds very practical to me. It's, there's a lot of things we don't know what's going to happen, but we try it anyways.
Yeah.
But, okay, first off, one is I think we need to give U of L and UK fans more credit. They're going to remain loyal to their teams, whether or not an NBA team comes to town. And as far as the tickets being too expensive, and we've debunked this constantly, you can go to our Facebook page. We have posted season ticket prices of every team in the league, and they're actually, on average, cheaper than U of L and UK season tickets when you break it down, because there's no mandatory donation to the athletic departments or the athletic foundations.
And the corporate, you believe the corporate support, because I think that's the real thing.
I agree, but it's different corporate support. Look at the primary sponsors at the KFC Yum Center right now. They're all local. They all come from the Louisville trade area, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking Stockyards Bank, what is the Kentucky Employee Mutual Insurance Group. Everything is within you know, 50-mile radius of Louisville.
Sure.
Now, if you're going to bring an NBA team, they're going to be interested in getting access to the however many countries the NBA broadcasts to. I think it's 216 or something.
Right.
So you would be getting companies, say, from Cincinnati, Procter & Gamble would suddenly be more interested. Toyota up in northern Kentucky would be more interested. The GE, Ford. Now, for them, the NBA is an avenue to a larger advertising base than just the University of Louisville basketball games are.
Sure, so. Sure. Well, I'm all for it, and you know, hopefully we can work something out. I know it's complicated,
And more than we do this, this short interview, but I also wanted to ask you a little bit about you. And it's interesting to me that you're able to maintain all your ties to Louisville. I maybe just give us a little background. I know you went to school around here, but now you live in Singapore.
Yes.
Of all places. So just tell us how your journey ended up there.
So actually, I like to say that I'm a typical Paraguayan born German American.
Of course.
So my dad.
I had one of those on last week.
See?
Too.
See? Yeah. So actually, my dad is actually an immigrant from the old East Germany. He escaped from East Berlin when he was 15 years old.
Wow.
And eventually made his way to the United States. Met my mother in Chicago. They got married. And he wound up selling cigarettes, Kent cigarettes. And he eventually was promoted. He was country manager of Paraguay in South America. And I was born there while he was there for his four-year stint. He was transferred to San Juan, Puerto Rico, did 4 years there, eventually transferred to the headquarters in New York. And at that time, the cigarette industry, the late 70s, early 80s, was in a period of consolidation.
Sure.
Everybody was merging together. And eventually, he wound up with Brown and Williamson here in Louisville. So I moved here in December.
I knew there was some way he was going to get back to
That's what it was, cigarettes. So I moved here in December 77 as a first grader. Wound up at Holy Trinity Elementary School, then graduated from Ballard High School in 1989, and then on to the University of Kentucky. And then after that, I made my way to Miami. I worked down there for about 10 or 12 years. And
okay.
then I've been in Asia, I guess about 15 years, Hong Kong, Tokyo, now Singapore.
Wow. And now what kind of work do you do over there?
I work for an HR consulting company called Globus Consulting. It's a Singapore-based company, and we work mostly with multinationals who are trying to align their subsidiaries across the globe with best practices from their headquarters.
Okay. So you told me earlier, you're 43, no wife, no kids, so this international playboy lifestyle, right?
Hardly playboy.
Well, but the lifestyle, I mean, you got to have a special set of way of being, I guess, to live that way.
Yeah, I think, one, you've got to be pretty flexible. For example, I'm supposed to be in Hong Kong on Monday, and I really don't know what's happening as far as our client is concerned, right? So I'm actually emailing the client now. I'm like, hey, am I coming to Hong Kong or not?
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm flying in from Louisville directly to Hong Kong, and then 3 days later I need to be in Tokyo. So if I could cut that leg out of my trip, would be great.
Sure.
So flexibility is a key. I think also the ability to sleep anywhere. And that, but when I say that, please don't refer back to the Playboy comment. I'm talking about airplanes. I'm talking about bullet trains, etc. So, yeah. For example, if I'm leaving Louisville, I'm leaving here 10 a.m. on Friday morning, and my plane is actually landing in Tokyo through Atlanta. I'll be landing in Tokyo at 4:50 p.m. on Saturday.
Wow.
So you need to make up the sleep somewhere, and you know, a lot of people aren't good at sleeping on airplanes or what have you. But
just the general, you know, we're also used to it in this, people that I know in this country, the people I know, you know, you go to work, you come home, you do your thing, maybe travel from business once a month or something like that. You just got a totally different lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah, but again,
but you like it.
I do enjoy the travel, and I enjoy working with our clients. It certainly does wear you down at times.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I like what I'm doing, and I like where I am. So I find it interesting.
Okay.
So
well, we're going to have to get some of those people down at GLI to sort of recruit you to, you know, come back here full time.
Okay.
Is this something you feel like you're going to perpetuate, or are you eventually going to settle down and say, okay, it's time to go home?
If you guys get an NBA team, I promise I'll be back.
Okay. Well, there's reason enough to work on getting that team in here. We get Albrecht back in town for good. That'd be great. So, anyway, we've got to wrap it up here. Albrecht, thanks for stopping in while you're in town.
My pleasure.
Being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, Albrecht, for coming down. I want to tell you one quick plug about where we met to do the interview. It's the Louisville Coffee Company. It is brand new. It was opened in, I don't know, maybe a month ago. It's a half mile from my house. It's next to the main government center in the city of Jeffersontown. It's something that we've kind of needed there for a long time. You know, in J-Town, there's in that little area of the square. There's a couple of nice restaurants. Chubby Ray's is over there, and there's a Mexican place, an Italian place. There's right down the street, Louie Louie's. So these are all within walking distance of where I live. But the coffee shop, it's going to come in handy. I think they've got a little room back there where Albrecht and I did our interview, and it was very private and quiet. And I would just encourage you, if you're anywhere in the neighborhood, forget Starbucks and Heine Brothers and all those places. This is an independently owned place. Some folks I know, Wade Hurt and Ellen Reitmeier, are the owners. And, you know, they're making a go of it. It's a independent, locally owned business. So there's my plug for them. They didn't pay me a thing to say that, but I did enjoy seeing the place and getting to talk to Albert there. He is off to, you know, Singapore and all that. But he, Albert has written some stories for, he used to write for me at LouisvilleKY.com and has written for Insider Louisville. And he's a very interesting guy. He basically originally called me for some tips on writing that I was happy to provide. And, you know, we had a nice conversation. Really, thing I love about doing this show, I think, is the variety of people that I get to meet and get to talk to and share those conversations with an audience that is growing, based on the statistics that are reported to me. I tell you, it's worth doing the show for whatever. It's worth a lot of sacrifice for an opportunity like the one I had with Paul Thorne today. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I certainly enjoyed doing it. So anyway, that's the most interesting people in the Ville for this week. I'll have another couple of interesting guests next week as we get into the meat of October, I guess. And there's a lot of stuff going on. We're getting ready to getting closer and closer to the election. And I've got some interesting, some guests lined up that I think you're going to really be interested in listening to. So make it a habit. Listen to the Rusty Satellite Show every week here on Louisville.am. You can pick it up on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And, of course, you can see photos of my guest at RustySatelliteShow.com or Louisville.am. Until next week, this is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.